Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you ready?
It's Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier. Well,
there's a hard hit ball. It's off the glove of Healy out of the right field, a base hit.
Woo!
So Jackie Bradley Jr. with the first Red Sox hit this afternoon.
Oh!
He didn't steal the game.
Let me see. A Patriot fighting allegations. Once they get caught cheating.
Yeah.
Have we seen this before?
I heard that New England was going to tell them that the samples were deflated.
With Glenn, Lou, and Christian.
The process wasn't followed technically correctly. It looks bad for them. The optics are bad.
If there's a question as to what drug he tested positive for and it wasn't included on their banned substance list or whatever the case may be, then it seems up in the air. And anything that seems up in the air when it comes to the NFL is challenging for me because they're not a league that has a strong level of credibility.
And I'm sorry for that.
Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
A good drug talk in hour number one. So we get to do hour number two here.
And
let's throw the Red Sox out on the table because the JBJ Jessica Mendoza line is up to 189.
He's warming up.
Woo! 189,
he's warming up.
Baby.
Oh, he's getting fired up now.
I'll tell you what, you go three for
I'm
three.
I'm so glad I just was able to withstand the barrage of criticism knowing.
One day, three for three.
I was alone on the cross.
Oh, please.
Game doesn't tell a story.
No,
one
most players do that once a week.
One game doesn't mean that things have changed.
He went from
stealing
178
bases, getting hits
to 189.
Making a difference. Seattle's a pretty good team.
In one day.
What one game doesn't do is doesn't erase like two months plus.
Why not? I told you.
You're being too critical.
I told you so. I told you JBJ was good.
I don't want to hear that stuff last night. My good friend Evan Drellick last night talking about it because we had a little fill in the blank and it was like, you know, the Jackie Bradley experience so far this year has been what? And he's like overemphasized or exaggerated, whatever it was, saying how it's, you know, it hasn't been the worst position. Had that little chart that you were talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you got that last night?
Evan Drellick from last night?
Yeah.
Over-criticized. And this has always been the case with him. For some reason, he's something of a lightning rod when he doesn't deserve to be. You look at where the Red Sox rank in different
positions.
I like Drellick. That is dumb.
Hold on, I'm going to let you finish.
That is just stupid.
No, I feel like it's basketball season. And we're talking. Drellick's talking about Al Horford.
Maybe
play the beginning again. It's like I swear to God, did we not hear this throughout the entire NBA season?
I'm seeing a lightning rod.
Go ahead.
Over-criticized, and this has always been the case with him. For some reason, he's something of a lightning rod when he doesn't deserve to be. You look at where the Red Sox rank in different positions, center field, and granted, he hasn't been the only guy out there, has not been the biggest problem. He's not been their biggest problem, yet he is treated, at least on social media, and I think by some fans, as his team's biggest problems. Jared points out there have been a lot of hard hit balls. We know the upside that's there. We know what he's capable of doing. He's got better offensive upside than a lot of people. So don't be overcritical of Jackie Bradley.
All you have to do is change Red Sox to Celtics. And then Drellick to H-Rod Blakely.
So his defense is they've been worse hitting behind the plate and at second base. Is that what he's trying to tell us? Is that his defense?
Yes. But Jackie Bradley is two things that were going for him for the first 2 months of the season. Number one, they were winning.
Yeah.
Okay? That's really all that really mattered. Number two, there was no alternative. You know, especially when Hanley got released. But the fact that he went three for three and the fact that, you know, you hear and you see all the reports now of what he's done the last 10 games as far as exit velocity goes. And that's great. I hope he's turning it around because they need him to turn it around. But they were able to stay patient with him because they were winning and because there was no other alternative. He could have put Swihart out there for 3 weeks in left field, you know, if you wanted to see what he could become. Or you could have put JD and Benintendi in center, JD in left, and then what, DH Swihart, Nunez, Holt, a catcher? Like, there was no alternative. So, but it doesn't erase the fact that for the first 2 months of the year, he hit like .170 with a .540 OPS. Like it's not overcritical. He was really, really bad for 2 months offensively.
How many reallys was that?
Really, 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 really,
was. Yes, he
really
was.
Really
for
bad.
2.5 months.
I'll repeat.
If he was a marginal defender, marginal.
Oh, he wouldn't have been in the big leagues. He'd be gonzo. He wouldn't be in the big leagues.
I mean,
it saves his ass, and Drellick's wrong. He's not a lightning rod. Matter of fact, if anything, people keep him close to their bosom because they like that highlight they get twice a week when he makes catch in center field. I get that. I understand it. Artistically, it's wonderful.
Artistically.
I'm going to say the same thing I said a month ago. I am praying. I am hoping. I am sitting here pleading. Hopefully, he has found himself. So for the next month, Jackie Bradley Jr. can go on one of those Jackie Bradley Jr. runs where he bats about 420 for about 4 weeks, and then we get to July 31st, and they trade him away. Because trust me, on August the 1st, he'll turn into a pumpkin, and we'll go right back to sitting here dealing with the JBJ, Jess Mendoza line again, under 200. That's what we're going to spend our time doing. He is what he is. We've got enough of a sample right now. Wonderful, terrific center fielder. I wish you could have, in the American League, you could have a positional player that just plays defense, doesn't have to get an at-bat like they do with the pitchers, just so you could marvel him every day.
I understand what you're saying, but I don't think that this is a this-year consideration, like trading him this year.
You're going to pay him in arbitration? No,
that's a different story.
Oh.
That's a different story. Now, okay. In the offseason, that's a different story.
So you're going to give him
a $10 million player?
But you need help, and you don't have the prospects right now. You said this last week. Dombrowski right now is playing with an empty deck and trying to get help. You need help.
You're going to get a center fielder in return?
I tell you what.
Or you're going to get a reliever? Now you got a lineup problem.
You're going to get a second. You need a second. A second baseman if Pedroia can't come back, correct?
Yep.
Is that fair to say?
You may.
Okay. And you do need help in the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
So he becomes a guy that might be able to facilitate that. And at least we know that what you can do is you can put J.D. Martinez in the outfield.
Yeah, but I just don't see that happening.
Why not?
Especially if he gets hot. If he gets hot, that's what they want him to do. They want him to get hot. In the offseason, that's a whole different discussion. Ooh. You want to pay the guy $10 million? No. You probably trade him away and you build your roster in the offseason. But during the season, I think you hold on to this guy and you hope that he swings the bat better.
If he hits in July, do you really believe he's going to hit in August and September? Because he shows no history of doing that. He has a 30-day spurt that's tremendous, and then he reverts to what he was before. What you've seen here so far, we're at the first half of the season, Lou. We're a game or two away from the halfway mark of the season.
I'm just saying it'd be different if you were in a better position with your minor league system, like you have been the last 3-4 years, and you can sit there and say we can move on from him. Maybe we can call up this prospect, or we can move on from him with this prospect and rent a guy like an Adam Jones, or but you don't have enough to move him for a player and then acquire a guy to replace him or get another body. I just don't see it. Yeah. And the exit velocity stuff, this is actually for me the only reason why it should exist, for this Jackie Bradley scenario. Because I remember years ago, like, why are we talking about exit velocity? And this is the actual answer, because for the last 2 weeks, you can look at his average, but they'll have stats to tell you that he's hitting how many balls at 95 or 100 mile an hour exit velocity.
He's hitting line drives.
So that tells
over the last
you
two
that
weeks.
He is
I'm not
swinging,
denying that.
But I'm just saying it's a one way to show that a guy is actually swinging the bat well, but not getting any love.
Okay, I'll give you that. But
which for the last couple of weeks, I would say that's the category that he's in.
But don't you believe over the course of a season and 500 plus at bats, that hitting the ball right to somebody kind of evens itself out.
If you do it enough, if you consistently
averages,
do it enough, it absolutely works.
If you hit the ball, but you're striking out, how the hell do you know?
See, I think I would not be surprised at all if he goes on one of these hitting spurts over the next month. But I don't trust him.
Oh, I, you know what?
I don't trust him beyond 30 days.
I would chalk it up to luck. Luck. The sun shined on his butt at the right time of day. Blind
I'm not sure it is luck.
Occasional. Yeah, because you know what? Because, what is it, 3 hits, stolen base, what else? 3 for 4, stolen base, had a great game, contributed in all different aspects of the game. It was too much of a just, bam, all up in your face. Here's all the good luck that I had. I'm going to put it in one big game, and then it'll buy me some time.
Yeah, I'm not buying
it. It'll buy me some time, and then you guys will be on the hook again. You'll look, look at what he did against Seattle. Look at the catch he made. And you'll continue down that road over and over again.
It won't last. It won't last because we've seen this. We've got enough of a sample of him. And I think it's on him. That's why I don't buy it's luck. I think he can hit. I think he has proven over periods.
Has he really, though?
For a couple of months, he's proven
What does that mean? He gets lucky for a month.
Lou, you tell me. You go 5 weeks and you're batting about 435. Is that luck? No, that is, he can hit. He just gets screwed up with his mechanics or whatever. It's in his head. He's
lucky. At that point, I would say he's lucky that he actually
found it.
Isn't the process repeating the good mechanics at every single opportunity?
As best you can.
He can't do that.
Yeah, as best you can. And you're going to lose it without time. I would say when you hit 435 for a month, there is some luck involved. I mean, you know, there's a difference between having an unbelievable 435 month or hitting 370 is you're getting some love.
How about 89 1 month and or 065 1 month and 435 the next month?
Yeah, but that's the problem. You know, you can't say he doesn't get much love when you hit like a .170 for 4 months every year. You know what I mean? So it's like you got to make, you know, hard contact more consistently in the first 2 months. Remember, he had that stretch where it was like 60 at-bats, 30 strikeouts.
Right.
I mean, you can't complain about, you know, contact and hitting the ball to people when you're not hitting the ball.
He wasn't even close.
Making contact.
It wasn't even close to making
contact. No, so it was abysmal for a couple of months. And hopefully he is swinging the bat better. He's making better contact. And hopefully he can go on a little bit of run here. And they can actually get something from the bottom of the order.
Watch. They'll take the All-Star break just in time. He'll be on a tear and take an All-Star break.
He does have a little bit of Al Horford in him.
He's frustrating.
No. Not as far as, but the protection that he gets. Right, Drellick, you know, explaining it away.
That's the dumbest thing I've heard. When Drellick said he's a lightning rod, he is not a lightning rod. He may be frustrating.
There's discussion in the town.
No, and it's become more because...
Well, wait a minute.
It is.
He's been in the league now for 4 years, so three complete seasons. You look at the numbers and you say, with the exception of two short periods of time that lasted 3 or 4 weeks, the guy has sucked as a hitter.
I know, but when you say lightning rod, when you think of the Boston Red Sox and you go back and you log our discussions.
He's becoming one.
But if you log discussions on the Red Sox, who are you usually talking about? You're talking about David Price, number one. And then who?
Chris Sale.
All right.
Chris Sale.
Where's
Hanley,
Jackie on that?
Hanley. Pablo. Oh, they're not on the team.
But I'm just saying, isn't Jackie Bradley usually
no, he
a discussion?
Is. He is.
So
you know, he's
a fine lightning
two.
Rod. That's yes. what I'm saying. Like, so when you talk about him, it's people calling up going, well, how long are they going to stick with Jackie? This is getting ridiculous. Send him down. Trade him. I'm done with him. I'm sick of him. It's like Clay Buchholz.
Well,
you know, I mean.
But Trellick's claiming.
A good analogy, too. Well, because even last year, every single year, I feel like we have the same discussion. What can he hit? What should Jackie Bradley Jr. hit to make it so the Red Sox would keep him on the roster? Like, what would he have to hit? Because he does have the ups and downs, and you could take any particular month and say, well, he's worth it. And then at the end of the season, he's flirting around 222, something like that. But he has so many lapses, and he doesn't do anything in the playoffs the last 2 years. So, yeah, I mean, he's got Al Horford written all over him.
Because he's a great defensive player, and so people will try to make the argument he's so good defensively. You're not going to make that about Nunez right now. If he's not hitting, he's useless, okay? And you need to go and get somebody that can play second base, whether it's Holt or somebody else. Somebody's got to play second base. Because if Nunez is not hitting, he doesn't bring enough to the table, right? Vasquez is a pretty damn good catcher. When he's not hitting, you sit there and say, well, we'd like to get some offense there, but, you know, he's pretty good behind the plate. Jackie Bradley Jr. is a great center fielder. He sucks as a hitter.
Yeah.
He sucks.
So you're okay with one guy being a crappy hitter.
I throw this to Drellick. Where are we being unfair? Great center fielder.
He's out of his mind. I mean,
great center fielder.
How are we being unfair?
Who sucks as a hitter.
He's something of a lightning rod when he doesn't deserve to be.
How does he not deserve? That is him. If you were to lay it out and look at that ball player, specific player, keeping his personality, everything out, because I have nothing against his personality. He seems like a nice enough guy. There's no other part of him that pisses you off like maybe a David Price does. So he's a great center fielder. Mm. Makes acrobatic catches out there. You sit there and say, oh, my God, I can't believe he just did that. As a hitter, he is undependable.
Well, I'm just saying, Drellick's looking at like the sabermetric stats, the chart that you brought up. And saying that, you know, as far as war goes or runs saved or wins above, whatever, like center field is kind of in the middle of the pack, you know, because of what he brings defensively. And that catcher and second base is actually hurting you more. And third base is hurting you more based on those stats. But that it shouldn't be like, okay, well, what's the worst one? Second base. Okay, we can only talk about second. We can't talk about the other positions that are disappointing you. So, you know, second base is hurting you more. Catch is hurting you more. Let's just talk about them. How do you guys like center? Well, center field, okay, you know, where they are in war, it's not really killing them. So we shouldn't be allowed to talk about his offensive issues. No, you should be able to talk about everything.
But we talk about
on this team.
Do we not talk about
where they need to improve, what they need to be better? And obviously, offensively in center field, they weren't getting, they'd gotten absolutely zero from. Zero. Now he's making better contact and hopefully to hit the ball better, but they got zero from there offensively.
Okay, if it'll help Drellick a little bit, I'll give it to you. Third base. Devers has got to be better defensively. How many errors does he have right now? 15, 16, 17?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but he's young. So he gets a
okay,
pass.
Okay. He's 21. How old is Jackie Bradley Jr.?
How long has he been in the league?
28.
Yeah.
By now, you know what you've got. If anybody thinks that Jackie Bradley Jr. is suddenly going to convert this and suddenly he's going to be a 260, 275 hitter, you're crazy. What does he have to bat the rest of the way, Lou, to actually get to like 245 or 250?
Yeah, it's going to be a long run.
Oh, he's got to hit the cover off the ball in the second half of the season.
I mean, there's a lot of sabermetrics. There's a lot of numbers and stuff, you know.
Yeah, I
don't understand this lightning rod stuff. We talk about every player, though. We talk about Devers at third, but you make an excuse. I think we've been making the excuse that Jackie Bradley Jr. in center field is a sports center a week highlight reel. It is phenomenal watching him play. I love watching him catch the ball, chase the ball down. And maybe you got a case that Nunes and Vasquez make it more difficult for you to keep Jackie Bradley Jr. around. On the other hand, if they can find somebody else who can hit, that can be a designated hitter, and you can put J.D. Martinez in the field every night, and he can hit because he hits better when he's in the field, actually slightly better than he does when he's a DH, I'm all for it. Sorry. And if you can get something over the next month, if Jackie Bradley Jr. goes on a tear and some other team sits
found
in,
says, money.
I think he's found it. I think he's found that.
You got to get him. Done. Well, if that's the case, then you keep him on the team.
Move him. No.
If that's the case.
No, like, because you know what's going to happen.
So then why would you suspect that some other scout for some other team won't see the same thing? Because they're not with around him every single day?
Do you remember when we said this?
If whatever the Red Sox know about him, the other teams know as well.
Do you remember we said this about Clay Buchholz? That Clay Buchholz has a tendency of getting his act together, and he pitches really well for a while. And then something happens, and whoop, he goes off the tracks. So when he was really going well there for a while, that was the time that they should have unloaded Clay Buchholz. And they didn't, right? And then they ended up getting, what, nothing in return at the end. By the way, Buchholz is on one of those runs right now. I don't know if anybody's paying attention. He's pitching well right now. Does anybody think it's going to last?
Well, here's the thing. It's funny you should say that. Because I think his ERA is like 2.7 for Diamondbacks after seven starts.
Yep.
But did you see last night he had to leave his start because of injury?
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Yeah,
I missed that.
It already happened.
I'm not watching the National League.
Yeah, it already happened.
So it's
already hurt.
So we know this. So why does anybody not or not willing to understand that we know what's going to happen with Jackie? We know. And I agree. I love watching, you know, watch a highlight reel. You can go to YouTube. There are highlight reels on Jackie Bradley Jr. Watch those if you want to see those. I just don't trust him in that lineup. And in all fairness, because I know Drellick wants us to be fair about this, he does get hurt by the fact that Vasquez and Nunes have been horrendous at the plate. So he's exposed more in the bottom third of the order because the other two guys can't do it. But sorry, that's part of life, right? It's part of life. Let's take a break, and then we'll get to the phone calls. We'll open up, talk about the Red Sox baseball.
When he's on the floor, good things happen.
Exactly. 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier. Three guys who are always on the same page.
You know what Tommy Heinsohn said?
Do, take it back.
And I know the Celtics are going to sit there and say, no, because we're hoarding
like that. I didn't hear a word you said.
It's Sports Radio, WEEI.
You know, I think it was Chris Smith, Mass Live, tweeted out on his last 10 games coming into today, 13 balls that he's hit with an exit velocity over 100 miles an hour. So it's been frustrating because he's been hitting the crap out of the ball, but not a whole lot of results to show for it until today. So hopefully that's the start of something good.
Jared Carrabba's. Is that on the baseball show last night?
Sure was.
He's on the baseball show.
Yeah, a little
he returned
surprise.
To the baseball show?
Yeah, it was his glorious return. Wow. Live, did not he, even on
did
Skype.
He, did he miss you, or did you pay him massive amounts of money to get him back?
No, he just missed us.
Just missed you. That was it. Listen, hopefully is always the word we use with Jackie Bradley Jr. Hopefully he can hit for longer than a week here. I'm just not betting on it. I've seen enough of a sample
well,
that I think I know what he is.
But
he is a phenomenal
careful.
Fielder. Phenomenal. And he sucks as a hitter.
But we got to be careful when we just, you know, we look at the last 10 games Chris Smith had, you know, exit velocity, 13 balls. And then come out and say, so he's, you know, he's been hitting the ball really well. He's just not getting any love. You know what I mean? Like, it's great. He's been doing that for 10 games. But it wasn't like the 60 games prior he was.
No.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Don't make it sound like it was all year long he's been hitting the ball with authority and just getting no love. And that's why he's hitting a .181. Maybe the last 10 games he's hitting .241. And maybe he could be hitting .320 because of the way he's hitting the ball. So the last 10 have been okay. But let's not disregard the first 70, wherever the hell we're at.
And I didn't even dispute Alex Cora when he said this last week and we were talking about it. He said he's hitting line drives and he's just hitting it right to somebody.
Lately.
And you're right. I'm watching the games. I'm seeing that's exactly what he's doing. But don't sit here and suddenly say that he's figured it all out. At age 28, after 4 years, suddenly, oh, my God, he's figured it out. It's just not converting right now into numbers.
So
you're not seeing it in numbers.
That's what it's turned into, you know, because it's he's hitting the ball real well. Like that first at-bat, did you see him line out the second base? Yeah, I did.
Good contact.
Did you see his second at-bat when he had a lazy fly to shortstop? Did you see his third at-bat when he rolled over into a double play? And did you see his fourth at-bat when he punched out? Did we see all those or no?
No.
You know what I mean? Like, so, yeah, he's hitting the ball hard once a game, twice a game, and sometimes he's not getting any love. And I understand as a hitter that can make all the difference in the world. But he's been better the last week, 10 games.
I would say this.
Keep it there. Hopefully he moves forward and he continues to do that.
I would be concerned about the fact that he might be losing confidence in himself, that he's hitting the ball hard, but he's hitting it right to somebody. Woe is me. Because if you look at his career, that's what he does. That's what happens with this kid. I say kid. He's
I know.
28
really.
Now.
See, my thing is less about, you know, I just feel like at some point in time, now, it's probably more likely that it's in the field, that he'll end up saving this team's ass based on his play in the outfield.
He's great in
the
outfield. Nobody can.
But it's more probable than not that he'll probably end up breaking your heart if the game comes down to him at the plate. Lay down a bunt and get to first. That's it. Don't forget about this. Forget about, and you see, like, defensively how teams play him. They dare him to bunt, but he doesn't do it.
Yeah, I admit all that stuff. I thought the throw he had the other night from center field to home plate was after he made the error was phenomenal.
He is intriguing to me, though.
He's fun to watch.
The whole Jackie Bradley Jr. experience is intriguing to me because there's so much unbelievable upside. And all he has to do is just hit a little bit. Or just suck a little. I mean, it's just whichever one comes first.
He's 28. So
my point to you about him being lucky yesterday was like, yeah, because you shouldn't have to reevaluate what he's going to be. The book's out on him. This is who he is. It's starting to trend the opposite way now.
He's a designated fielder.
Okay.
That's what he is. A designated fielder. He's phenomenal out there. He's great. And he'd be even more valuable to the team if he were playing, let's say, shortstop or something like that, because there are more balls hit in that direction than there are in center field. He's wonderful as an outfielder. Drellick, he's terrific. But does anybody trust that he's going to hit for longer than a 3 or 4 week period? Because he might go on a tear. I wouldn't question that at all. Over the next 3-4 weeks, he might go on a phenomenal tear in which people say, "See, as Lou said, I told you so.
He's up to 222.
Talk to me in week 5, week 6, week 7, week 8. Talk to me then. I don't believe it'll go forever. All right, Michelle McPhee has updated some stuff here on her Twitter account. Identity of accused drug dealer who shared a FaceTime conversation with Hanley Ramirez during a traffic stop that led to his indictment on charges of possession 400 grams or more of fentanyl, confirmed. The district attorney has asked me not to ID the dealer for his safety. Then she goes on to say, the district attorney, prosecutors filed a motion to seal the entire case. The alleged suspect who contacted Hanley Ramirez during traffic stop was previously convicted on drug charges in New York City in 2009. Per court records, prosecutors asked that his identity not be released for his safety. So he's an informer, right?
I would think.
That's the only reason you'd be protecting his safety.
She's digging, that's all.
There it is.
Yeah.
She's following up on her
form. She's digging.
She's
good.
Maybe she wanted to get to the weekend.
But, I mean, I'm just there's so much focus now on the identity of this guy. Does anybody care?
No. I actually could care less.
Do you care?
No.
I care more about the original report and was Hanley, how involved is he? Is it still being looked into?
All, yeah.
What was the day of this? Can I get a day? Because with Ken Laird, it seemed like the timeline was very important to her. You know, so when did this happen?
Because you're only trying to really care what this guy's name is,
whether it's Delcio Rodriguez, or give me another name. Who cares?
I just want to draw a correlation.
Who cares?
If there's one there that the Red Sox get wind of it, they hear about it, and they go, oh, crap, this is about to hit the fan. Let's get rid of this guy now, say it was a baseball decision, and then go from there. And then it's somebody else's problem. That was it. And even if they did know about
why would they do that?
Either scenario, because stuff's crazy. Because either way, they're right. I mean, it's a good decision either way, whether they hear about it on the DQ, on the DL, and they do something about it, or it's news and they say, listen, this guy
has an
investigation.
So,
either way, they're in a good position.
That's part of the discussion as far as like the Red Sox, like brushing us under the rug and just being stupid and doing this and not telling everybody, and it's just typical Red Sox. But none of that makes sense.
No.
Because why wouldn't you announce that this is the reason why you're releasing him? Why wouldn't you save $14 million because you can suspend him without pay? And why wouldn't you, PR-wise, tell your fan base that you would never employ someone who's involved in any of this because you, the fans, deserve better? Like, why wouldn't you go down that road, make yourself look really good?
Yeah, you know what? I heard so much stuff about it this weekend, and unfortunately, as we've discussed this morning, there was some information, but certainly none of it seemed to be sourced well enough. But people were coming up with different theories. Well, the Red Sox should have known that Hanley was hanging around with a bad bunch, bad people. Well, you guys have been on teams. I've been around teams. You can question all you want, the so-called entourage or friends that show up and are hanging out in front of the locker room at the end of games or whatever. What are you going to do? You're going to point out, we got to be careful of that guy right there. Let's go do put a private investigator on that guy. Are you kidding me? But people think because it's a professional sports team that that's what you do, that you go and you research all of the players and anybody that you see around them.
I do think they do that.
They don't do that.
I think they do it now. I do.
Oh, really? You think they did it Hernandez? Because they seemed to be shocked when they found out what Aaron Hernandez did.
That's my point. I don't think they did. I think they did the surface digging, you know, especially for the draft. For a guy who had red flags and had a history, yeah, I think they did a little bit more work on that person. But, yeah, based on Hernandez and based on other guys throughout the league and in all sports – yeah, if you have a – because each team has a guy dedicated just to that.
The Red Sox, I'm sure they do.
Check his record, do this, so do that.
That was another thing that was brought up. You know, the Red Sox have a lot of people in authorities. Of course they knew. So if you did know someone in authorities, and if you base this all on what the Globe is reporting, so what would that discussion be like? Like would someone with the local authorities, FBI, whoever it was, go to the Red Sox and say, hey, just want to let you know, this dude was pulled over with a bunch of fentanyl. Tried to use Hanley Ramirez's name to think the cops would let him off easy. Actually called them. But, you know, as it turns out, he's not being investigated in anything. This dude was just trying to, you know, impress a cop by who his friends was. So I just want to let you know that, yeah, Hanley's name is involved, but he's not involved.
Right.
There's no criminal charges his way. We found out that he's got no involvement whatsoever with this kid. Just want to let you know.
All right, so what are the Red Sox going to do at that point?
What would they do with that?
Nothing.
Okay, he's not involved? No.
They might go to Hanley and say, hey, be careful of this dude because we just got word through our security that they just arrested this guy. Just be careful if you got any connection.
So you tell him he's not involved. What should we do? Okay, release him quick. He's not involved.
Right.
Like, walk me through all of these scenarios with, you know, that the Red Sox knew and didn't say anything.
I've seen that happen where a guy who was heavily involved in betting and making bets from we'll say the ballpark, stadium, arena.
I had that too on my team, right from the locker room.
Okay, and they were doing it, and they were friendly with a couple of the players. And the players were pulled aside one time and said, hey, be careful, because we hear he's making bets out of here. Be careful what you tell him, any information you get him, if you're hurt or anybody else is hurt. And they're sitting there going, you know, we're not going to tell him anything. I'm not going to tell this dude anything. You know, he's around. He's around the area. That is it. But I think people think that because it is a sports team, that you've got this huge file on every single player, and you know every single person that is around that player. I've never seen that. Never seen it. I've seen authorities call up security.
But enough to know that that's going to be a problem.
Maybe.
That's going to be a problem. Bring them in. Say, listen, don't want to get into your personal life too much, but I've heard some things, and I've seen some things. So let me just put you on notice that we're watching you.
No, I just told you. Nose clean. That's what I saw with a guy that was involved in betting and might have been involved in some drugs, but he certainly was involved in betting. And the guys were pulled in and told about it. But this whole idea of, you know, they're going to have a complete file on everybody that the person, you know, is involved in. How do you know that?
No, you're not. But you know things. Because it's obvious, right?
Well, you know things, if the guy's hanging around on a regular basis, if he's one of your best friends and you see this guy hanging around on a regular basis and you know he's a bad dude, that's a different story.
I look at everybody. Face tattoo, well, usually give it away. The guy's got a face tattoo.
See, I think you're being...
Usually, you're like a gun.
You're discriminating.
Like a handgun on his forehead.
You mean usually a bad handgun sign. Tattoo?
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. Usually a bad
when
sign.
When have you ever seen that?
I see it all the time.
Really? I've never seen that.
Guys
before.
Go on. Once you get it, once you get anything tattooed on your face, you pretty much said, screw it. I'm done. I don't care.
Look into everything I do.
Yes, don't care. You're all in on being bad.
What about any metal?
Metal, what do you mean, on your face?
Yeah.
You know, piercings, no, not as much.
You're good with that?
If you get a face tattoo of any kind,
how about a neck
dimple,
tattoo? Neck.
You're flirting with it. You're flirting
with a lot
with
of guys
you're
with
right
neck tattoos
the
these days. A lot of guys.
Neck tattoo, really, if you can't cover it up with a college shirt, like, you know, and then you probably have kind of.
It's hard for a basketball player, wouldn't
chips.
You say?
Mm-hmm.
If you're playing
like
on the court.
Birdman, not going to be an office worker, not going to be running any businesses unless it's his own. Hey, welcome to Safeway.
Starbucks manager.
Big ass. Almost.
Yeah,
I'd rather not, though.
Paul says you can say it. I'd feel good
real
now. Yeah, go
too
ahead.
Comfortable.
617-779-7937, our phone number here on OMF.
Text the show at 37937 and tell Glenn how you really feel.
I really like the text line, but I just don't see why they gotta be so mean.
Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Talking about more fake news, more stuff, and it's a problem. It, you know, the thing is, as you guys know, we hear more and more stuff on the side. And then the first thing you try to do is you try to go and ask somebody that might have knowledge of it on the scene. And when they deny it, you probably say to yourself, well, it's in their best interest to deny this because it might be a problem for them, so it still might be true. But we have a whole new avenue with social media. So the stuff that used to stay under wraps until it could be proven whether it is accurate or whether it is false no longer exist because of social media.
Well, how many
media?
Times do we see it on a text line?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I mean, what's the difference between that and Twitter?
Right.
You know, no offense to this guy, Jim, I forget his last name, who tweeted this out to Jared Carabas May 25th. But it was like, okay, you take something like that, you look at it, maybe you make one call and see if there's anything there. And if nothing comes out of it, you're sort of like, all right, whatever. It was just a tweet. You know, or just a text on the board. How many times we see stuff on the text board and we go to Paul, hey, Paul, look into this. You know, can you find anything? Because someone on the text line just said this, so look into it, and it doesn't happen. So this is a daily thing, weekly thing, monthly thing. And rarely does a month go by without somebody comes at you with some kind of lead that you might look into, make one call, and let it go.
This is a great way to kind of start the fake news Friday trend going now. Here's some great material. Hanley Ramirez, lots of information. Fake News Friday, every Friday.
Every Friday.
Every Friday.
Well, I'm just saying, like, along with the whole... We should have a number
that you can call and leave messages.
This rumor of, you know, which now obviously...
I'm changing it from fake news.
There's something there. You know, the involvement of Hanley Ramirez is different, but still, the story is pretty much what everybody had heard, so it's there. But there was other stuff, too.
Yeah.
This other stuff, like when the day Hanley got released, I had heard, looked into it, and were quick, and it was over with. The day he got released, he was so outraged, they had to call the cops.
Yep.
Because he was threatening to blow up Fenway and shoot people.
Not true.
And it's like, you got to be kidding me. You know, and he's just like, oh, Jesus. And that's where this thing was going. So you throw in a drug thing, and you're like, all right, this is kind of outrageous. Because, you know, you talk to people. People are a source close to the discussion. I guess that's how you word it.
A source close to the discussion. So not actually in the discussion, close.
Well, close to the discussion.
Close enough.
That to me is cryptic on its own, right?
But like, no, I'm just saying, like, when Hanley was released, he said two things, two words, thank you, and walked out. You know, so all this other stuff, he's sort of like, okay, whatever. I'm not gonna follow up where the cops were called to Fenway Park, you know, because he was so outraged, he was threatening to freaking blow the place up, right? So you just disregard stuff every day. All the time.
But you know what it is? Everybody is fearful now that they're not going to get the story, that somebody else is going to beat them to that story. So they almost feel, what the hell? I'll throw it out there. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And you got a lot of people on social media right now that do that. Years ago, the way you'd be able to find out whether somebody was coming to town or something was happening or a free agent or whatever, somebody would tip you off at the airport. You probably heard this. They tip you off at the airport. Nowadays, it's on social media. Somebody at the airport is out there tweeting out that so-and-so's at the airport. And so now everybody puts two and two together, and suddenly they've got a story.
To me, this brings us down a different road just as far as just the world that we live in today, like the cover of Time magazine. Like, to me,
fake.
I'm so just, it doesn't do anything to me. Like, I'm not affected by it either way. It's just part of life. You figure out what the truth is, and then you just, okay, then you adjust.
Well, it was fake. You're talking about the Trump and the little girl.
The little girl in the cover of Time magazine, Who was not separated from her parents. And it's like they just took two random pictures and merged them together, obviously fake.
Right.
And treating that as a real depiction of the situation, which to me is par for the course. It doesn't get me pissed off.
Yeah, but
that's just the way it is.
But think about this. But 50% of the public, because we are divided right down the middle right now, 50% of the public sat there and said, it's okay. I don't have a problem if it wasn't real. It didn't have to
be
real. It got the message across.
Mm-hmm. And, you're fakes out there. You're fakes.
And that's the message I support. I want to get that message out there. So it doesn't have to be real anymore.
No.
It's not about real. It's about opinions. And what you specifically think, that's all that matters anymore.
Yeah, it is all that matters. Yeah, it's true. I mean, because there's definitely scenarios where people, the hypocrites, you know, when they get upset about certain things and so let other things go, right? Well, it would be like freedom of speech for Colin Kaepernick or whether Kevin McHale should be at a rally.
Yeah, I would say at depends any what point side time, you're on. I mean, actually,
freedom of political beliefs, unless you don't agree with them.
If you're like a liar and you're just, you know, making stuff up, this is a perfect arena for you because you literally, there's no consequences to it.
Yeah.
Unless somebody starts digging in your life and because who wants to do that? It takes too much work.
No, you appeal to your
I mean, I'm serious. And if you appeal to
your side, to your base when you're lying.
Then you're like,
I'm lying to my base.
They like me. they like them.
Because they want to believe it.
Yes. I thought the reaction this weekend was fascinating to watch the whole situation with Sarah
Can we do that next weekend?
Okay. Yeah, we can get into it next time. We have some time, so we can do it now if you want.
No, we can do it next.
We should do it next. We really don't have time, so we should do it next.
We're going
a few more minutes here.
Oh, yeah?
We're going a few more minutes, and we're starting the next hour.
All right, well, go ahead. Tee it up. Go ahead. I'm ready.
You weren't at the meeting this week?
Nope.
The new clock. You missed that meeting? That's when you fell asleep.
I was reading Twitter. I saw the coolest thing on Twitter.
What is that?
Over the weekend, and I tweeted out. I didn't @mention you guys. I just assumed you guys were watching me, you know, at all times and looking at what I was saying. I tweeted it out. I think it was like yesterday.
Right.
There's, I guess it's rugby, right? Like the All Blacks that Nate Edmund was doing. Samoa and Tonga do this, and Paul, try and find it if you can. They do this.
That.
It is the coolest pregame ritual I have ever seen.
I don't know. It sounded a lot like Drew Brees to me.
No.
That's what it sounded like.
That sucks. Now they have two sides. Samoa starts on one side. They start doing their haka, and like it's not even choreographed. Like one guy's just giving orders, and the other guys follow it. And then Tonga on the other side, they basically doing their own version of it. Right. And they get closer and closer and closer to the fact that they're almost kissing. You would think that like a fight would break out. And when I tell you these guys are jacked, they need to start recruiting these guys from the NFL because they're jacked.
Just tweeted it out.
Okay. And then it just ends. And there's just this mutual respect for each side after they do their whole, you know, their whole dance, their haka. You have any of that of it?
It's mostly crowd noise, though.
Yeah, but you really you get yeah, a little you bit really of the can't get the. You really, there's a lot of grunting. A lot of that. You want to just play a little bit of it? You can hear it a little bit. The crowd is into it. You have to go look at it. I don't think you saw it.
Yeah, I did see it.
It is amazing.
They're slowly walking towards each other.
Yeah,
I did see it.
It's a little dance-off.
They all get,
like, it really
got a little
was.
Bit of a dance-off.
Like, getting like a circle or something. I saw it.
The Jets
I did
and the
it.
Sharks?
I see
the Jets and the, I think the Patriots are
see,
maybe.
See, you're not Drew Brees when he does the exact
no.
same thing.
No. We had this guy.
You just can't understand this guy.
This is the true story. We had this guy on our team, Dan Saliamua. Played for the Kansas City Chiefs for years when they were good. And then he came to play for Seattle. And he tried to bring this whole thing to the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
So one day at practice, homeroom is like, all right, Dan, you're gonna do it. So Dan like gets up there and his accent, everything like that. You can barely he's speaking pigeon. You can barely understand
speaking
him.
Speaking pigeon.
And he starts doing it. And we're supposed to like you know reply. Nobody does it.
You guys, did he give you the lines?
Yeah.
You know what he's supposed to say?
No, he just said, hey, just repeat after me. Okay, one time, brother. Hold on. Hey, hold on. He's doing all this stuff. He's sticking his
when
tongue out.
When become Jamaican?
Stop it.
One time, brother.
It's not Jamaican.
It didn't work. It was just funny because, like, they're trying to just, you know, it was so funny. Like, Homer was trying to, like, instill this, like, whole, like, new way of doing the pregame, and, like, nobody was into it. But this, on the other hand, I'm going to retweet it.
I'm looking at the video. You tell me if you can't put pads in those guys and give them all trials so they won't be able to play somewhere in the NFL?
That's my point. Like, they're
the monsters.
And more importantly,
special teams players.
Whatever.
First of all, they don't even care if they
got
pads on.
Starting linebacker in there somewhere.
Listen, hey, just run through. See that big guy? He's like 350. Run through him.
There's a starting linebacker
in
there somewhere.
That's it. Yeah, that's all you need to do.
So is the crowd chanting the same thing?
I don't know.
Because it almost sounds like the crowd is into it, and they're chanting the same thing. It's almost like they know the words.
No, I don't think so.
To this, no?
No, but Paul is right. It's a modern-day Jets versus the Sharks. I'm just looking for Natalie Wood. Who's playing Natalie Wood in this role? Nobody?
Mm.
No, he doesn't know who Natalie Wood is. If I paid you. Who's Natalie Wood?
She was in the movie Jets versus Sharks.
Because that's the movie.
West Side Story and Sharks.
You mean Sharkboy and Lava?
You don't remember that?
It was an NHL movie. It was a hockey movie.
Yeah, she was in a Sharkboy and
shot
Lava
in
Girl.
Winnipeg.
Oh, my God. Can we please
now we're taking
a
break now. Now we're taking a break. We need a break right now.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.